Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Well, good morning. It is Tuesday, March 21st. It is 7 minutes after nine, and you're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Thank you for joining us this morning. So the political world waited over the weekend for Ron DeSantis to weigh in on the possible indictment of Donald Trump, and then waited, and then waited some more. And then finally, Ron DeSantis spoke yesterday. We were waiting with bated breath, Rob, and then he spoke. And when he did, he took shots at Bragg and also at Donald Trump.
Okay, so we are going to play you the audio of Ron DeSantis speaking, and I'm going to do this in three parts because this was a master course in how you handle this sort of situation. I mean, he did this so well yesterday, and he did it in a way that most people don't even realize that he was doing it, and that is why we are paid a gajillion dollars to be here.
You get paid a gajillion?
Well, we're not making the Vivek Ramaswamy money. You know, he's getting $4,000 an hour from the state of Indiana to handle in-purse. But we're making pretty good money because we see things other people don't see. So three parts to this. Part number one. Again, master class. He should totally, he could teach an entire course at Harvard, Yale, and just do it on this little 2.5 minutes of speaking alone. So part one, he very clearly goes after Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, and he does it in a way where you know right off the bat, hey, Bragg is the bad guy in the equation. Take a listen.
So I've seen rumors swirl. I have not seen any facts yet, and so I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. The Manhattan district attorney is a Soros-funded prosecutor. And so he, like other Soros-funded prosecutors, they weaponize their office to impose a political agenda on society at the expense of the rule of law and public safety. He has downgraded over 50% of the felonies to misdemeanors. He says he doesn't want to even have jail time for the vast, vast majority of crimes. And what we've seen in Manhattan is we've seen the crime rate go up and we've seen citizens become less safe.
Okay, so right out of the gate, everybody knows, hey, this lunatic left prosecutor is the bad guy in the equation. So if you're somebody who is, you know, whether you're a Trump supporter, whether you've been on the fence about Trump, whether you're just a Republican in good standing, you know, out of the gate, the first thing he wants to make abundantly clear to you is that Donald Trump is not the bad guy in the equation. The radical left DA is the person that is at fault here.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Now, Casey.
Yeah.
This is where he takes it to a new level that everyone that has ever had to give a political speech of any sort should give him a giant round of applause, because now you're suckered in going, yeah, that's right. Bragg is the bad guy here. But then, ever so subtly and repeatedly, he wants to make sure that you know that Donald Trump has put himself in this position because he made hush money payments to a porn star. And DeSantis does this all while playing stupid, going, I don't know. This is just what I heard out there. Multiple times you will hear him say the words porn star. And then very quickly after playing stupid and innocent in all of it, he then pivots back to Bragg. This is awesome.
You're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda and weaponizing the office. And I think that that's fundamentally wrong.
Okay, so we are in the middle of the weave now. He has started out making abundantly clear, if you are a conservative or a liberty-minded person, this lunatic left prosecutor is 100% to blame, Casey.
He's the bad guy. He's funded by Soros, who, through the Color of Change PAC, gave him a whole ton of money for his election campaign. So Bragg is the bad guy.
Yeah, absolutely. But then let's remind everybody that if you're an undecided conservative, maybe you're on the fence, maybe you liked some of Trump's policies, but man, that was just exhausting. Well,
DeSantis is the family man. He has no idea how you would pay hush money to a porn star. He's not involved in that sort of seedy lifestyle.
And then to close the deal, because, well, Ron DeSantis was once upon a time a prosecutor, he makes the closing argument, reminding you that best of all, Casey, he's one of the few people in the entire country who has actually done something about these radical left maniac prosecutors.
I also think it's important to point out, when you're talking about these Soros-funded prosecutors, yes, they may do a high-profile, politicized prosecution, and that's bad, but the real victims are ordinary New Yorkers, ordinary Americans in all these different jurisdictions, that they get victimized every day because of the reckless political agenda that these Soros DAs bring to their job. They ignore crime and they empower criminals, and that hurts people, hurts a lot of people every single day. These Soros district attorneys are a menace to society, and I'm just glad that I'm the only governor in the country that's actually removed one from office during my tenure.
And it's complete.
In scene. The prosecution rests, Your Honor. Right. I can't even, whether you like the guy or you don't, whether you like his politics or you don't, whether you love Trump or you don't, I cannot tell you from just a pure politician, political speech, articulating and driving home a message, how perfect he did all of that. It was all deliberate. It was all by design. And if you are a person who is sitting there going, who is the best person to carry the Republican banner and be not just a voice for themselves, but for a voice of other candidates? Who is the person that we most want to run with? Who is the person who will make the best case for us? Who is the person who will do the best on a debate stage with Joe Biden? I don't know how you don't look at that. Or how you look at that and say anything other than Ron DeSantis isn't just that was A+. That is everything you should want from the top of your ticket.
So it was worth the wait hearing from him.
Oh, it was awesome.
And of course, Trump could not help himself. He had to come out and say something as well.
Okay, so look, I want to take a break because during the break, I want to ask you if you want the Whitney behind this or not, because this is so hilarious what Trump put on Truth Social, but it's so ridiculous that I don't know if we should prop it up with the music. But and then I've got to ask you, there's something in there that he's alleging against DeSantis that I don't even know what it means. So I'm gonna have to ask you.
Yep.
So could we take a break?
Yep. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Good morning. It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And let's take a look at what's trending this morning. The cast of Ted Lasso visited the White House yesterday. They were there to discuss mental health. And while they were in the briefing room, a disruptive reporter derailed the entire briefing, saying he hadn't been called on in 7 months. Karine Jean-Pierre, what did she do? Absolutely nothing. But while they were there, Jason Sudeikis, after he took the podium, he took a question from a familiar face.
Yes, sir. A familiar face. Hi.
Trent Crim. Fake journalist.
Yes, sir. Yes, Trent. Nice to see you.
How do you feel about Kansas City being one of the named hosting cities for the 2026 World Cup?
Ooh, here I was hoping for a softball. Okay, you know what? I'm very excited, truth be told. Yeah, Kansas City is going to be one of these teams. I mean, I love this town. What I am genuinely worried about is once we get all these folks from all over the world to come to Kansas City and see our city, eat our food, meet our people, you're going to have, you know, a lot of folks that won't want to move away. That's what I'm worried about.
Okay, so for people, Casey, who have never seen the show like me, what the hell was going on there?
Okay, so the Ted Lasso show revolves around soccer.
Oh, okay.
The World Cup is going to be coming to North America next. So they were in the briefing room.
Uh-huh.
Trent Crim is a character from the show who plays a journalist on the show. So he was a fake journalist in the briefing room that Jason Sudeikis, who is Ted Lasso, called on.
This was at the actual White House.
This is in the actual White House.
This is what we're
behind
doing.
Behind the podium with the logo. Karine Jean-Pierre was there. And yeah, this took place right there in the White House briefing room.
This is what we're using our public resources for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Also trending this hour.
Why did you subject me to that? Like, what? You knew that would enrage me, and you said, let's just stick it right in Rob's face. Here you go, Rob. Would you like some rage pie this morning?
Let's get you worked up. I know you've got to perform here in just a minute. Also trending is Mike Bray. And, of course, 13 days after he coached his last game at Notre Dame for basketball, he has reportedly already agreed to become the head coach at the University of South Florida in Tampa.
Now, you're friends with Bray, right?
Well,
you guys pounded some brews together?
Yeah.
I'm sure he was a big fan of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was rumors
I think I see you getting sentimental as you're talking about
this. Well, you know, there was a lot of rumor that he was going to go to Georgetown, possibly. But now it's coming out. He's going to be in South Florida and Tampa. I'm guessing he was sick and tired of the cold winters.
Great. We have somewhere to vacation now.
Right,
it's fabulous.
Exactly. And finally, trending, Rob, I know you're going to have a baby girl sometime this summer. And it was always a rite of passage to make the trip to Chicago to the American Girl doll store. These are very, very expensive dolls,
sure.
Right? Well, they have introduced two new historical dolls.
Oh.
Historical.
Like
being
Betsy
the
Ross?
This is the key word. These historical dolls are from the 90s. The 1990s.
Have you ever seen there are moments where they will say, okay, something that happened in, you know, the time frame between such and such and such and such,
mm-hmm.
you know, is the same as, and these things that seem like they were forever ago, but now you realize that you are in the middle of this.
Yes.
And it is because you are an old person.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing it out.
Well, I don't mean
30 years ago is now being classified as historical,
you know,
in the American Girl
Doll. Well, it's so interesting that you say this, Casey, because this was one of the things I wrote in my little journal that I'm keeping for my daughter last night about how I have started a second job because everything is really expensive and children are really expensive.
Yes.
And as a good conservative, I will not leech from others with my hand out.
Mm-hmm.
And I am doing a job that was similar to a job that I did many, many years ago when I was very young was actually my first job. And I was having flashbacks last night, and it was seeming to me how it seemed like it was yesterday and it was in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And when you say the 1990s, you go, oh, yeah, that was just yesterday.
Yeah.
And then you actually realize, no, that was forever ago, and I am now a very old person.
Yes, congratulations. 30 years ago, it's now considered historical.
All right, so Trump, we mentioned this last segment. DeSantis had his big press dealio yesterday. It was a masterclass in political gamesmanship. He totally knocked it out of the park as it relates to Alvin Bragg and Trump and the mm-hmm. Stormy Daniels stuff. And so then Trump could not help himself. He had to respond. Trump is obsessed, Casey, mm-hmm. with this photo, this grainy photo from years ago that is supposedly, allegedly, it has never been confirmed to be Ron DeSantis. It's some guy who has a vague resemblance to Ron DeSantis, mm-hmm. and he is with three younger women mm-hmm. now, and they have beers in their hands. Nobody knows, are these women over 21? Are they under 21? Are they over 18? Nobody knows anything. It has never been confirmed, as far as I am aware, that that is even Ron DeSantis. No one has been able to say definitively that is indeed Ron DeSantis.
It looks like it could be a picture from the 90s. Ron DeSantis is sporting the popular Caesar haircut.
Yes, and this was, he was a teacher at a school very early on, but there's nothing... No one has ever said these girls were, they were 16 years old, they were 18 years old, they were like, but Trump has just become,
won't let it go.
He has become obsessed with this picture. And so he retruthed or retweeted or whatever it's called over there, this photo. And I'm going to read the words that came from him because, man, it is weird. He is like boiling rabbit on the stove. I will not be ignored, Dan. Weird about this. And I don't even know what he's saying in part of this. So real quick, let's roll.
And I,
Ron DeSanctimonious,
will probably find out about false accusations and fake stories sometime in the future as he gets older, wiser, and better known. When he's unfairly and illegally attacked by a woman, even classmates that are underage, or possibly a man, I'm sure he will want to fight these misfits just like I do.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, I don't know what he means.
Yeah.
Now, I know, understand the underage.
Sure.
He's referring to these girls. They were underage. They have beers in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, by the way, never mind. I'm not even going to go there with that. But what does or possibly a man mean?
I don't know.
Is he trying to insinuate DeSantis is gay?
Or
is he trying to say he had these women are men?
I don't know what he's trying to say. I think he's questioning in this day and age. You never know.
It's
something
so
could have
weird.
Happened between the time the photo was taken and now. But it's good on Trump that he makes you question.
This is insane, Casey.
That's all he's doing. He's just putting it out there. Like, are you sure you know what's going on?
Or possibly a man?
But he says sometime in the future.
Yeah.
As he gets older, wiser, and better known. It's almost like Trump is alluding, like, you know, with everything that's going on.
Or possibly a man. Speaking of possibly a man, he is a man. He's the man. He's Kurt Darling. He's the news. It's coming up next.
It's 93 WIBC.
Amen. Amen.
It's time to go to church.
Take me to church.
Here to preach to the choir from the bowling pulpit, Pastor Micah Beckwith.
93 WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey show, and oh, Casey, look who it is.
I know. I asked him, are you here to announce something? And he said, no, not
yes,
today.
Yes, would you like to, would today be the day where you would like to declare, I'm going to do the right thing and run for lieutenant governor of the state of Indiana?
Well, listen, guys, I first would like you to introduce who's here, because you didn't even say my name yet. So how do people know who you're talking
you
to?
You have your own
Micah
billboard.
Micah Beckwith.
You have a billboard.
Yeah, you have your own intro with music and everything.
Matt Hiblin put more effort into your intro than he did ours. So everyone knows you are Micah Beckwith.
That's hilarious.
Now, you actually have, other than grandstanding and defending your Republican friends, you actually have a premise of being here today. You have a special guest with you. Who is it?
I do, yeah. So we brought into the studio Dave Seibel. He is the headmaster at Coramdale Schools and Coramdale Academy in Carmel, and it's a classical Christian school that's doing great work. I know we talk a lot about what's going on in public education.
Yeah, right.
And we see the just kind of how terrible that's gotten over the last 30 years, and specifically in Indiana. But what can we do to stop this? And I think Dave's got some great perspective on education in general and why children are not being trained up in the way that maybe we would expect them to be. So,
all right. So Dave, welcome. I'm sorry you have to be friends
good
with
to be
Micah.
Here. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't know if you lost a bet or what put you in that position, but very good. So, okay. So tell us about, just very briefly, 30-second overview of your school. I know it's very successful. Your enrollment numbers are fabulous. They've gone up over the last several years. Tell us about it and why you think that is.
Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of empty seats on the yellow school buses that drive through our towns right now, and Hoosiers have been trusting in the public school system for a long time. I grew up in Greenfield, Indiana. I was on the bus. I had planned on sending my kids on the bus. I went through Teach for America. And over time, I started to realize that, hey, I think some of the vision and direction for these schools is different than why I got into education in the first place. So when I started at Coram Deo Academy 5 years ago, we would always say the primary educators of everybody's a homeschooler. No matter what schooling option you choose, your kids are going to pick up your conviction. So I've just settled on, I've tried every model. So I've settled that classical Christian education at Coram Deo is what I want for my kids and why I got into education in the first place.
Dave Seibel's with us, a friend of Micah Beckwith, who is the headmaster.
Don't say that out loud, Casey. People are going to use that against him. They're going to see him at a Walmart and go, you're the guy that's Micah's friend.
No, I didn't say he was friends with Rob Kendall. He's a headmaster at Coram Deo Academy. Now, you said this a few times, a classical Christian school. Now, I grew up with the Catholic school. Mm-hmm. So what is the difference there? I mean, I understand, you know, we went to church on Friday every time and prayer in school. What do you guys do that's different from public schools?
Yeah, the traditional Catholic school is very similar to classical Christian education in that we are trying to take kids back to the sources. We're trying to put them in contact with some of the things that the founders of our country read in the 18th century. So if you go back and you look at the founders, there's eight world-class leaders like Alexander, like Hamilton, Madison, mm-hmm. Franklin. And what kind of schooling did they do? Did they learn how to read from Dick and Jane and Spot? No, they read Longfellow, they read Shakespeare, they read Virgil, they read Homer. There's only about 3 million people at the time of the founding, yet we have eight world-class leaders. So you would expect with the explosive growth of our country over the last 250 years that you'd see that growth of leadership, but you see quite the opposite because our educational standards have dropped more and more. And so I think the main difference between classical Christian education and other models is we have high expectations. We think that kids can reach the bar. Our kids, by the end of eighth grade, they can read the Bible in Latin. By the end of 10th grade, they can have a conversation.
You know, Rob can do that.
What did you just say?
Say that what?
That they can read the Bible in Latin. And that's, Rob, you've been trying that in your time off, you know, right? On the weekends, that's what you've been doing.
I know in church, when you tell me to flip to chapter and verse, I know how to do that, Micah.
It's Matthew 8.
So question.
Just give him the page number.
Yeah.
And these are normal kids too. Like my son, he repeated kindergarten. He would throw toys at his teacher at the beginning of the year. And so these are Micah's progeny go to our school. These are normal Hoosier kids. We aren't like some Ivy League bougie private school. These are normal Hoosiers that come from Christian families that they want something different for their kids.
So our guest, Dave Seibel, Coram Deo Christian School, Micah Beckwith. So Mike, I'll start with you and then Dave, I'll let you take this one because Mike and I have talked a lot about this. I think about my daughter, and so I've lived my whole life in Brownsburg. I went to Brownsburg. That's part of the community is being a bulldog. And you think, wait a second, I pay all these property taxes. I'm not sure I'm prepared to surrender that, you know, I pay for this public education. Mm-hmm. My kid deserves a good education for what I pay. I feel like in a weird way, if I just pull her out and say, well, she's not going to go there, I'm surrendering something. And Mike, I'll start with you on this. Do you think I'm looking at that the wrong way by saying, no, wait, I got to stand and fight, don't I?
Absolutely. I always tell people, you have a responsibility to fight in the public school systems for what's right because you pay taxes, and Abraham Lincoln said the philosophy of the classroom in one generation is the philosophy of government in the next.
But I'm petrified of her going there.
Well, here's how I look at it. It's the Titanic. If you were to go back to the days of the Titanic and say, okay, we know what the outcome's going to be here, would we send our kids on to the Titanic without us there? No, probably not. Any good parent would say, I'm not going to put my kid there, but we still would want to fight and say, okay, well, there's something we can do to help save all of those people who will meet their doom if we don't do something. And I think it's the same way. It's like, I'm not going to put my child is my gift from God. I ultimately care about what they're going to end up, how they're going to grow into being the human beings that, you know, God has called us to raise. That's my first responsibility. But then my second responsibility is to then, what can I do to help the community? So you know, we've made the choice to go to Corum as a family, and it doesn't mean that I don't care about Noblesville. It doesn't mean that I don't care about the students that are at Noblesville, but we're not going to send them on the Titanic.
Well, it almost sounds like for those parents that do put their children on the Titanic, yeah, sure, with air quotes, you're going to send them with the life jacket.
Yeah. And every parent, it doesn't mean that your kid is doomed for failure if you go to public schools, but it does mean that every parent is called to be very engaged in their children's lives. And you can't just, and even this is true, I think Dave would say this is true in Corum and or any other Christian school, or you can't just go on autopilot as a parent. And they're very intentional at Corum to say, parents, you have a very intentional, specific role you have to play, and we're not going to let you just send your kids here and then go on autopilot. They're your kids to raise. The school's just helping you raise them.
Dave, I'm curious, when people come, they say, hey, I want to learn about your school. They don't just go, okay, we're going to send our kid here. Or Beckwith said, do it. Let's do it. Maybe they do. I don't know. What do the stories you hear, is there reoccurring themes on people say, why I've got to get out of the public school?
Yeah, we want to see people running to us, not just running from something. And so the idea that we're just a refuge from public schools, I think there's over 1,000 classical Christian schools around the country. And I know any headmaster, they want to see people running to a positive vision for their children. And so it's not meant to be a political retreat for conservative people. Ultimately, we are folks that are focused on the gospel. And so, you know, I think of Reagan's quote about freedom not passing through the bloodstream. We don't think the gospel passes through the bloodstream. We see all these things that our culture and conservative Christians have tolerated, and then the next generation's embracing. And so we have to fight to preserve what the next generation needs. And so what one generation is tolerating, the next is embracing. And I think of what G.K. Chesterton said about education, that education is just the soul of one generation passing on to the next. So I see a lot of kids growing spiritually. What often happens is people will say, this is good for my kids. Mm-hmm. And then they'll realize this is actually good for our family. Mm-hmm. And then the third is they realize this is good for kids in general.
When you see what's going on in public schools, how do you think we got here?
That's good.
Well, we were just walking around the
That's
circle.
That's why she's a professional, Micah. That's what she does.
She asks good questions, Rob. Well, you should take a note.
He has history being involved in education and obviously a good opinion on it. So how do you think public education got to the state that it is?
I mean, I'm less involved in the contemporary scene as Micah and you guys, but we're walking around the Monument Circle, and we're just looking at the years 1861 to 1865. And so my two things that I'd point to is when Lincoln approved the Morrill Act and started giving schools like Purdue hundreds of acres so that they could teach agriculture and mechanics, the seeds of our educational system, the seeds of decay were sown not in the 20th century, but in the 19th century. You see Darwin published The Origin of Species around that same time. And so people are incentivized. You see Carnegie and Rockefeller at the turn of the century, they hated Latin. They hated Greek. They said that studying the classics made you an impractical person. And so,
because they wanted factory workers, essentially.
Yeah. And so I think that headmasters over the last 150 years went from being true academics and statesmen to business officers. And boards, they want, if you surveyed boards, would you rather have someone get a degree in philosophy, theology, history, or get an MBA? They'd all say get an MBA. It's business and technology have displaced those things that make us human. And so right now there are more DEI officers in higher education than history professors.
Wow.
Why is that? Because boards are generally populated by businessmen and women, and they have no taste for what makes us human. What's a child for?
Can you talk about a little bit how you teach? Like, every student going through Corum learns the same thing three times, correct? From like kindergarten to fifth grade and then sixth
grade. Wait. Yeah, so it can't be like when I was in school where you do something just to take a test and then you totally forget it? Because isn't that how you did it, Casey?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, I need this for this test.
Two plus two equals four. I never have to remember that again. I never have to remember that.
Sorry, Dave. I'm a terrible broadcaster. Well, Go ahead.
The majority of us aren't working professionally in the major we took. And we're always so surprised by that. But it's like, well, why do we say that? Why is that such a novel stat to everyone that 80% of people don't work in their major? It's like, well, the purpose of education is not to train you for your job primarily. The purpose of education for hundreds, thousands of years was to cultivate a civilization of reasonable and responsible people. It's actually a form of Marxism when you start doing STEM and elementary school, because you think that our job is to prepare the workforce for the next generation. That's a secondary aim. They're not just a pair of hands. Every individual has worth more than their economic value they contribute to society. And so we think the things that are humanizing are knowing where you came from. Cicero said, whoever is ignorant of what happened before he was born will perpetually remain a child. And so we see these, you know, you ask why I think we got here. It's we forgot where we came from.
Yeah, no, I got the answer. It was Rockefeller.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, I like this guy way better than Beckwith. He should be the lieutenant governor. How about that?
Hey, we can listen. As long as you're the press secretary, I will support him.
Micah, but we have to go. But I'm going to tell you this again. I am needed here, and I need a job that involves no critical thinking whatsoever.
Oh man,
Micah could work with you then.
Okay. Bada bing, bada boom.
Dave Seibel, thank you so much for being with us today. This was a fabulous conversation, and we really appreciate it. Way better than the ones we normally have with Micah.
Thanks, guys.
You are listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey, so you took out some aggression yesterday, I heard.
I did. Good morning, it's 9:51. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. It was a whole lot of fun,
yeah.
And very, very educational. So a girlfriend of mine and I went to Indy Arms, and we had a gun class with the gun guy, Guy Relford.
Oh, wow. How exciting.
I have to tell you something, Rob.
Yes.
He is so smart, and he did such a good job
wait.
Teaching us.
Oh, no. His name is the gun guy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like me knowing about local government.
I know.
But he should be. That's in his name, Casey.
I know.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying.
If
I were to say, okay, who do I know that really knows Indiana state politics? Rob Kendall would come to mind. Who do I know who knows guns and firearms? Guy Relford.
You just seemed, there was like some surprise in your voice. You know, he was really smart on
guns. He was really, really good. No, he taught me some really great stuff.
Did he tell you that you're supposed to aim the gun directly in the air and fire repeatedly and yell yeehaw as you dance?
Absolutely.
Is that
not?
You're not supposed to do that?
We've got the five safety rules.
Oh.
Always assume the gun is loaded.
Yes.
Always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction.
Yeah.
Always keep your finger off the trigger until you're on target and ready to shoot.
Uh-huh.
Always know your target and everything aligned within your target.
Did you put my face on the target?
No, I didn't put your face on the target, but let me tell you something. After, it was about a two-hour class.
Uh-huh.
We did an hour in the classroom,
oh.
And then we went into the range, and I was shooting a 9mm, and he was surprised at how good I did.
Did you hit the target?
He was so proud of me. You should have seen his face. He was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I brought the target in with me.
It's amazing they even let women have guns.
And I haven't shown you. So I shot off five. Five bullets.
Oh,
okay?
Five bullets. Okay.
Five bullets.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm showing it on, so everybody.
Okay, I see one in the seven. Oh, there's a direct hit. Oh, yeah. Boy, look at that. One, two, three, four, five. They all hit
four
the target.
There and one down
now,
there.
Was this like you were standing from me to you?
It was 12 feet away, and we did it 12 feet because
if you
were in a self-defense situation,
sure.
He said perpetrators are normally like about 10 to 12 feet away, so that's the distance that we wanted to practice.
Yeah.
But I had four shots.
That's amazing.
That's like right there.
Yeah,
look
that's a
one hole, four shots. I was so proud of myself. I was like, I got to bring this in to show it off. And he was
proud
of me,
too. Did you beat your friend? Did you do better than your friend?
Yeah, but you know what? I was super proud of her, too, because she was really nervous about doing it. And both of us have gone to ranges before.
Yeah.
I've always gone with the dude. And my point was that I want to be confident handling that weapon.
Yeah.
when I'm by myself. And Guy, he was so good. He taught us everything. I know all the parts on the gun now.
Oh, that's
I know
how
the,
exciting.
The, you know, how to properly shoot, and the stance, the isosceles stance is my favorite versus the Weaver, which is the side.
Look, she's using terminology. I'm using the Weaver stance.
I know. And muzzle awareness and the five fundamentals of aiming, sight alignment, sight picture, hold control, breath control, trigger control, and then follow through. I didn't know the breath control is when you go to shoot, you take a deep breath, and then you let a little out, and then you shoot.
Did you yell before each shot, get off my property? No. Did you take actual real-world practice?
No, I didn't.
You kids, get off my lawn!
Get off! Quit throwing rocks in my yard! But it's interesting, you know, on the target here, the first four shots, all in the middle, the last one, I started to talk and got distracted, and that's when it went down.
And he shot him in the junk.
Yep, I did! Totally.
That'll hurt, too.
Yep, it'll stop him for sure. If you're interested in taking a class, they're expensive, but Guy does offer them. It's 9:55. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.